greetings all of our Facebook Fatman friends. I want to thank you for being with us. It is a privilege to be with you in this Pentecost season. All of us are still so blessed and so impacted by the power and the move of God that we experienced this past week at Pentecost Sunday. We are elated to know this is a season of empowerment. This is a season of advancement, and God is greatly moving in our midst. So I'm going to ask you just to take a minute, if you can, and do that work of the evangelist to share the good news of Jesus. We believe as we share, hit that like button, hit that share button. I'm praying that God would speak to us in a mighty, mighty way, and that he would get glory and honor through everything that we're doing. We're asking God to get glory in everything that we do. Again, I'm the senior pastor of This Rock International. I'm so glad you're with us. I want to welcome all of you. Thank you for being on the line. I don't have the ability to see the text and the comments at the moment, but I want to welcome you. Thank you for being with us. I'm at our home studio. We are doing so much this week, but we're in expectation for a mighty move of God. Thank you for being with us wherever you're joining from. I pray the grace and peace of the Lord over you, over your family, over your children. And we're going to get ready for the word of God in just a moment. So if you would do us a favor and do that work of the evangelist, share that button, hit the share button, hit the subscribe, tag a few people. We're going to be sharing the word of the Lord in just a few minutes. And I believe God is going to speak in a tremendous way. So again, one more time, happy Pentecost season. I can see that there are 12 of you sharing. That number's going up there. Thank you for being with us in our Facebook. Thank you for watching via YouTube. We believe God is going to speak in a great, great way. And again, I don't see the comments on my section here. I'm at the studio at home, but I thank you for being with us. I'm praying that the presence of the Lord would minister directly to you and to your family. But we're going to get straight to the word of the Lord. Let's start with a word of prayer. And we're going to go right into the word of the Lord. From the Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask you to minister to your people life and wisdom, revelation and counsel. We pray that your mind would be clear today concerning what it is you desire and what you are speaking today for the people of God. Open ears to hear, hearts to discern, minds to hear, and know the truth of your word. Speak to our hearts. Reveal mysteries today. Open up the eyes of our understanding to know the counsel and the ways of the Lord. I ask you, Lord, for revelation. I ask you, Lord, for insight. I pray every obstacle to the word would be broken and that you would get all the glory and all the honor. Speak to our hearts. Minister to our spirits that which is good and merciful and that which is powerful. Open up our understanding and cause truth in the inner man to revive, to awaken, and we'll be sure to give you all the glory. Lord, now speak through my lips of clay and give me wisdom and revelation concerning this season and this time. I pray it now in Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen and amen. I'm going to ask you one more time, if you would do that work of the evangelist, hit the share button. Hit it once, hit it twice. Let somebody know we're on. We believe God is going to speak tremendously today and that he's going to get all the glory and the honor. Amen. Let's get straight to the word of the Lord. We're going to the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. Romans chapter 8. This is our key verse for the podcast. Romans chapter 8. Again, I want to welcome you to our Freedom Global podcast. And I believe there is a movement of God that is stirring in the earth, and you are a part of that. Romans chapter 8, verse 21 reads as follows, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons and daughters of God. Let me encourage you, God has liberty planned for this generation. He wants to bring liberation. He wants to bring freedom in your generation. The scripture says, because, or for this cause, creation itself. Remember, creation has a being. Everything that exists has an essence, a substance, a matter. The Bible says that the trees can clap and the mountains can sing, the book of Psalms tells us. So what does that mean? Everything created has a substance and it longs for the manifestation of the mature sons and daughters of God, that we would grow up into Christ. We're going to go very briefly to the book of Galatians chapter 4. You see, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. The Bible says we will not only inherit what God has, which is wonderful, we're going to inherit God. I want you to write in the comment section, I will inherit God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we're not going to inherit what God has. We're inheriting God. He is the substance. He is the source, not the resource. If I was to show you water, water is resource, and water flows from the source. It is a living substance, and the resource comes from the source. You're not going to get the source. You're getting the resource. You're getting the source. The substance of all things is God. He that comes to God must believe that he is. But here's what Galatians 4, that we are heirs. We are inheritors, one who must inherit. Now, in order for you to receive your inheritance from me, our inheritance is in something called a trust. Now, when somebody dies, they leave a will and testament. That's what the Bible is called, the will and testament of the Lord. Again, greetings to all of you joining in. I'm at my home studio, and I don't have the ability to be able to look right now at the comments. But welcome, everybody. We're glad you're with us. We believe God is speaking, going to speak tremendously even more through this podcast. But again, a will and testament is something that somebody that is passing or wants to leave a legacy leaves to the next generation. Somebody wants to leave instruction. Well, we have something called our last will and testament, which is the Old Testament and the New. Scripture says the testament is of no power till the testator dies. So Jesus had to die to bring the testimony or the testament to power. Those of you may never thought about it that way, but that's how it works. There's a testament that because Jesus died, we can now activate the will and testament of the Lord. Now, this testament is everything. You are an inheritor of all things. Everything you see, everything you cannot see, everything that is visible, everything that is not visible, God wants to release the will and testament. I said God wants to release your inheritance, and that inheritance is the substance of everything. Everything visible, everything invisible, spirit, soul, body, finance, resource, power, miracles, anything is possible in the name of Jesus. I'll say that again. Anything is possible in the name of Jesus. I said anything is possible, and God left you inheritance of everything. This is why it says, if you ask anything in my name or in my authority, in my nature, in my power, in my grace, God wants you to walk in that. God wants you to live in that. God wants you to manifest his power and his ability. He wants to bring it forth in the spirit of grace. So let's read this here. You have an inheritance. Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the inheritor, as long as he is a child, is no different than a servant, though he be Lord of all. I'm going to read that again. The inheritor, that is you. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I'm going to repeat that again. We are joint heirs. Let's go there also very quickly. We're going back in a moment to where we are. Joint heir means a co-inheritor. A joint heir is one that will inherit what God has. Romans 8, actually, this is a part of our key text, Romans 8, verse 17. If you are, actually go to 16. The Spirit itself bears, at Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, we say that, but that's not a haphazard statement. To be a child of the king means you have an inheritance in the kingdom. And that inheritance is not only supposed to be accessed when you die. That inheritance is while you're living. I'm going to repeat that again. You are not only supposed to receive your inheritance when you die and go to heaven. Jesus died to bring your inheritance into the earth realm, so that anything you ask in his name, he would give it to you. You can say the mountains be removed and they will obey you. You can decree the end from the beginning and the thing that is not as though it was. So God has left you an inheritance. But the Bible says that we are children. Go back to Romans 8:16. We are children. The Bible says children of God, because we've got the Spirit. That's the evidence. That's the proof that you are a child of. If you don't have the Spirit, you're none of his. But if you've got God's Spirit, you're his and he's yours. Verse 17, Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs of God. I'm going to repeat it again. You're not going to get what God has. You're getting God. And when you get God, you get all that he has. I'll repeat it again. When you are an heir of God, you're not getting what God has. You will get all he has. You're going to get him. You're not getting the resource. You're getting the source. You're getting the ability to reproduce over and over what's necessary. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, co-heirs, a fellow heir. What is a joint heir? It's like a joint account. All you married folks that have a joint account, whatever is in the account, you have equal access to. Jesus made it and we can spend it. This is why he said you can ask anything in his name. Joint heirs, if so be we suffer with him, we will be glorified with him. Go back if you would to Galatians where you were. Galatians 4 verse 1. So I say the heir, as long as he is a child. Now, this word child is not a positive thing. This word here means without maturity. I'll say that again. This word child here is not a positive thing. This word child means without maturity. I decree the children of God are coming into maturity. You won't know what the harvest is when the fruit on the vine comes to maturity. Now, I believe in souls getting saved. Say amen. I believe that God is about to save souls. I believe that. I believe God wants to save souls, and he wants to bring many into the kingdom of God. I believe that. I believe there is coming a harvest of supernatural origin that cannot be measured. God is going to heal the sick. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to release the power to cast out devils. He's gonna do this. But hear me, souls are coming into the kingdom. That's beautiful. But let me make it clear. Souls coming into the kingdom is not the only measure of harvest. Now, I believe that souls have to come, and that's a type of harvest. But let me make it clear. When you put a seed in the ground, if you're a farmer, is that a harvest? No, that's the beginning of the harvest. I'll say that again. When you put a seed into the ground, that's not harvest. That's the beginning of the harvest. I want to encourage you by the Spirit. God wants you to understand a harvest comes when the seed that is in the ground grows and sprouts. And then even when there's greenery, it's not harvest time. Then it has to mature enough to bear fruit. But after this fruit on the vine, it's still not harvest time. The fruit that is on the vine has to ripen to full maturity. So if you're a farmer, let me give you an encouragement. Let me bring you an encouragement by the Spirit of God. God wants to bring you a harvest. I said God wants to bring you fruit that matures. There were two types of ground for farmers. There still are. The former rain and the latter rain. The former rain is the first ground, the rain that makes the ground soft. So you can break up the ground and put the seed. So before there's a harvest, there's a former rain to start to plant seeds. The latter rain comes at the end of the season to bring the fruit to full maturation. To take you've ever had a peach that wasn't sweet? You've had to have an orange that wasn't really sweet? You ever had strawberries that were a little soured? They left the vine before the time. I declare in the name of Jesus, you are not going to see your harvest die before time. You're going to see a full harvest. You're going to see a manifestation of the presence of God. God is going to fulfill his timing, his word, his power by the Spirit of grace. Hear me by the Spirit. God wants to release goodness and mercy and power. God wants to release. Let me read this to you. The heir, as long as he is immature, I decree the harvest that's coming to this season is not just new souls, though I want new souls. I decree the church is coming to maturity. We don't need thousands to be mature. We just need 120. We don't need millions. We just need 12. If God can find a remnant that will come to maturation, from that maturation, God will produce duplication. See, in order for there to be duplication, there must be maturation. And the harvest we're looking for isn't just new souls coming in. Though I want new souls in, again, harvest doesn't come when you plant a seed. Harvest comes when a seed comes to full maturation and produces a sprout. The Bible says first the blade, then the ear of corn, then the full ear of corn, then the sickle. First the blade, then the fruit, then the fruit comes to full maturation, then you put the sickle. The sickle is the harvest tool. Harvest doesn't come till there is full maturation. I decree this partial harvest, this partial maturity is about to be broken, and there is coming a harvest. The heir, Galatians 4 verse 1, as long as he is a child, is no different than a servant, even though he is Lord of all. I'll say it again, even though he is Lord of all. Let me encourage you by the Spirit. God wants to release an anointing for full maturation, an anointing for full wisdom, full revelation. He said the heir, as long as Galatians 4 verse 1, is immature, is no different than a slave. Let me encourage you. The time of the church living like the world, that is coming to an end. Us being sick like the world, us having our finances look like the world, us having division in our homes like the world, I decree there is going to be a demarcation on the radical remnant of Jesus Christ in this season. I decree by the Spirit, God is about to raise up a radical remnant who know their God, and those that know their God will do great exploits. There is coming a people on the earth who know the voice of God, who know the ways of God, who know the mind of God, who know the heartbeat of God, that a maturity is coming. Now, let me encourage you. We can't make ourselves mature. We can cooperate. The Bible says one waters, one plants, but only God can make it grow. I'll say that again. I can water. Someone else can plant. Paul and Apollos. This is where Paul is correcting the church, and they're saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo, I'm of Cephas. They're dividing against themselves, and Paul is correcting them, and Paul gives revelation. One can water, one can plant, but only God can bring increase, which means make the seed grow. Let me encourage you, the time of growing is not coming, it's here. I said the time of growing is not coming, it's here. I'll say that one more time. The time of growing is not coming, it's here. The time of maturation, the time of us walking in another level of maturity, another level of wisdom, another level of power. God is releasing an anointing for the mature, an anointing for those who are called to walk in maturation, in boldness, in confidence. God is about to grow the church to maturation. I cannot grow the church. You cannot grow the church. Only God can make the church grow. Only God can increase the church to a place of full maturation in the kingdom of God, that they walk in maturity mentally, emotionally, spiritually. One can water, one can plant, but I decree, you go back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, if you would. Go back to Galatians 4, verse 1, if you could. Now I say the heir, as long as he is immature, is no different than a slave, even though he is Lord of all. Are you hearing this? Even though he owns everything. Who's an heir? I am. Who's an heir? You are. Who's an inheritor? I'm going to inherit God. Who owns everything? God. Who owns everything? God. Who owns everything? God. God owns it all. I said God owns it all. I said, God owns it all. God wants us to walk in the newness of life. Galatians, go back to Galatians 4, verse 1 there. Here's what it says. The heir, as long as he's a child, is no different than a slave, even though he is Lord of all. Verse 2 says, but as under tutors, going to look at this word again. It is the word epitropos, one whose care or honor anything has been instructed, a guardian, a curator, a steward, a manager, tutor, and governor, a manager, steward, manager, superintendent. So there are tutors and there are governors. Now, I believe there's many interpretations, but here's what the Lord showed me, that the tutor, the instructor, is the Holy Ghost. The number one governor God wants to help you govern with is the governor of the Holy Ghost. He wants your mind governed by the Spirit. He wants your heart governed, my thoughts, my emotions. The Spirit wants to teach us. He wants to show us. Number one, the Spirit. Number two, the governor is an earthly authority that before God will advance you, he goes to speak to that earthly authority. What we don't understand in the kingdom, there is something called order. People want to go before they're sent. People want to move forward before they promote it out of things. But the way God does things, not man, religion does it any way they want. Religion does it. I come when I want. I feel like I want. You ain't going to tell me what to do. You don't do what I like. I'm going to move when I want. Yeah, and I'll go to another church. I'll find another pastor. That's fine. That's church. That's not the kingdom. In the kingdom, you are under a tutor, which is the Holy Spirit, and a governor, which is an earthly authority that is assigned to watch over your soul, to release you at the appointed time, to speak life into you, to watch your maturation. He is under a tutor and a governor until the appointed time of the Father. Now, the appointed time is the word proethmos. It is your due season where your doors open, where the kingdom of God activates over your life, where the miracles of God begin to release you. See, even Jesus was under a tutor and a governor until the appointed time of the Father. He was taught of the Spirit. He was instructed, but he was also under earthly authority. It says in Luke 4, when it was his time to read, I don't know why we're talking about this, but when it was time to read, he grabbed the scroll and began to read out of Luke chapter 4, a quotation of Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was a part of a synagogue. He was under ordained authority, even though that system was passing away. He submitted to the baptism of John. Even though John's baptism represented the old, God said, I need you to submit to the old so the heavens will open. Bible says, John chapter 2, he did no miracles. The first miracle was initiated by his earthly authority, his mama. I'll say this again. His first miracle, John chapter 2, let's go there. John chapter 2, go there with me. John 2, Jesus did no miracle until he was released. Until he was released by his earthly authority. And on the third day, John 2 verse 1, on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Who was there? The mother. Who was the authority of the mother? Who brought him back under her authority at 12 years old when he wanted to run away before his time? His mama. He went back down and was subject. This is not an easy thing. Sometimes we think we're ready and we're not. Sometimes we need to sit down and wait until you're sent, not try to push your way out. Sometimes, let me encourage you, the timing of God is to wait on God and wait on your authority. This I don't got any amens. I can't see the responses, but I'm preaching by the word of God. If you go when God sends you, his power goes behind you. His authority goes behind you. His favor goes behind you. And the authority of the Father goes behind the son or the daughter. And the third day there was a marriage of Cana of Galilee, and the mama of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples. Who was mom? Who was his authority? We don't know if Joseph was still alive or not. All we know is God noted that his mother was there. And they wanted wine, and the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said, woman, what I've had to do with you, my hour's not yet come. And his mother said to his servant, whatever he says to you, do it. Who is initiating the miracle in this moment, in this text? The mama of Jesus. You go down a little bit further. He does the miracle. Matthew, we're still in John chapter 2. He does the miracle. Go back to John chapter 2 and verse 10. John 2 verse 10, and he said, every man at the beginning does set forth the good wine, and when they've well drunk, then that which is worth, but you've kept the good until the end. This is a mystery. Let me encourage you, God saves the best for last, the best outpouring, the best glory, the best miracles. God has saved the best for last. You are the last day generation, and you will see the greatest move of God that has ever been seen in any generation. But look at verse 11, John 2, 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed. So where was the beginning of miracles? Right here in Cana of Galilee. And who released Jesus into his ministry? His mama. A governor and a tutor is an instructor. The Holy Spirit, yes. A governor is a manager. They're called to manage. The problem is we've been mismanaged. The baby has been dropped in previous generations. We talked a few days ago about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, who fell or was dropped by the midwife when they were fleeing the temple fleeing the king's palace when David took over. And because he was dropped when he was little, his feet grew up crooked. Now God was saying, I'm pulling you out of the gutter. I'm pulling you out of the ghetto, and I'm going to bring you to the table of the king, and I'm going to make you as a son of the king. I want you to be encouraged. God has greater for you than you can imagine for yourself. But as under, go back to Galatians 4, verse 2, but as under tutors and governors to the appointed time of the Father. I decree God is getting ready to release some appointed times. What does that mean? These are effectual doors, doors of opportunity, doors of supernatural influence, doors of radical favor, doors of miracles. When these doors swing wide open, you've got to be ready to walk through them mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You got to walk through these doors spiritually. Go back, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going there. Romans chapter 8 and back to verse 16 is where we were. Actually, I want you to go back to, if you would, Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. See, we have received something called the spirit of adoption. And God, through this spirit of adoption, is healing something called the orphan spirit. The orphan spirit is prevalent. It is the predominant spirit in our generation, the orphan. All of us have battled with it. Everyone has battled with it somewhere. And many leaders are still dealing with this. I've seen it around the nations of the world. I've seen it in California. I've even seen it in our church. This spirit is very prevalent. It is a spirit of rejection. It is a spirit of fatherlessness that perpetuated before we were born. It didn't just start when we were kids and our parents wounded us and our mothers wounded us. It started before we were even born. But here is what heals the orphan spirit. It's called the spirit of adoption. Here's what verse 15 says. Romans 8, verse 15. They'll put that up there. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, one of the roots of the orphan spirit is fear. And that fear produces bondage. Now, bondage is restriction. I want to do good, but I can't do good. I want to do right, but I can't do right. I want to overcome, and I keep going through this cycle. These cycles got to be broken in the life of every, not just some. All men and women have to overcome this spirit of the orphan, this spirit of rejection, this spirit of fatherlessness. God loves the orphan and the widow. God has a heart for them. For you've not received the spirit of bondage, which is slavery. Restriction, which is rooted in fear. Fear keeps us enslaved mentally, emotionally, financially, maritally. And so the only thing that casts out fear is love. Love is the only way to heal this area. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received something called the spirit of adoption. Now, in America, adoption is a term that seems to be like we're less in the family. If you're adopted, they make jokes, you're adopted and you're not so much a part of the family because you're not born by blood. But this word adoption, now this word spirit is the word pneuma, and the word adoption is the word wheelthusia. It's a spirit of grafting in into family. Now, the hardest thing you'll ever do is graft into family. The hardest thing we'll ever do is learn how to move in family. This is difficult. I'll make it clear, all of us struggle with family matters, family wounds, and family bondages, and family heartbreaks, family. Why am I talking about this? Because the kingdom of God is meant to be a family, a place of family. But when we've been broken in our own family, it's hard to be functional in family in the spirit. So there's dysfunction, disorder. God says, I want to bring healing to those areas. We are to see it. It's the spirit of adoption as sons. We are to see it. That relationship with God, which God was pleased to establish between him and the people of God. The nature and the condition of true disciples in Christ, receiving the spirits of God in their souls to become the sons of God. God wants to graft us in into family. It is the spirit that pulls us in to family, community, covenant. Well, I've said this before. The church is like a family. The church has authority. The leaders, the parents are like the senior leaders, are like the parents, their authority. The brothers and sisters are peers. They're like brothers and natural sisters. The new converts, the disciples, those under authority are like children. And so this whole dynamic of people feeling weird in church. I don't feel weird, comfortable in church. I don't feel like I fit in. I don't feel like the dynamic of family of church suits me. It's not usually that you don't like church. It's usually that you don't like family. I'll say it again. It reminds us of the pain in our family, the pain of being mistreated in authority, the pain of being mistreated by peers, the pain of not knowing how to lead those who are under our authority. But God wants to heal the family. I need to prophesy. Here is one thing that came forth over and over by different voices this last RTA weekend. God wants to heal the family. God wants to bring the prodigals home. And it's easier than we think. We think it's hard for God to save that stubborn son. It's not hard for us for God to change the stubborn son. It's not hard for us to change the stubborn daughter. You know what's hard? To find a place that operates in family. It's difficult for God to find a healthy place to send his sons and daughters to. Because the dysfunction in the church is because there's dysfunction in the family. I want to heal the family. So here's what I want to release. God said, the spirit of we are the seer. Sonship making, grafting in. God is making sons and daughters in the family. We've not received the spirit of bondage through fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of being hurt. Fear of being abused. Fear. God said, I've not given you the spirit of fear. I've given you the spirit of love that grafts you into family, whereby we make a cry. Now, this cry, the word cry, is the word klazo, klazo. It means to cry, to sound, to pray, to make a sound and a frequency. This cry, this sound, when you make this sound, all the doors open. This cry, it can be a tearful cry, but it becomes a war cry. It becomes a kingdom authority. This cry of Abba, which is Daddy God. That sounds weird. And, you know, sometimes people say that and it sounds a little bit weird, maybe because it's disingenuous, Daddy God. But that's what it means. An endearment, a closeness with your father, a closeness with your heavenly dad, a closeness with your Abba. See, in order for you to have what you need in the earth, it's going to have to first start in the spirit. What you need from men, God says, I want to give to you. But before I give it to you in a man, I want to give it to you from heaven. What you need in a woman of God, what you need in a mother to be mothered. And we all need these roles. You say, no, we don't. Yes, we do. Paul said, I begot Timothy. Wherefore you received the spirit of adoption. Thereby we cry, Daddy God. We cry, Abba Father. We cry intimate or closeness with a God of heaven that is no longer just God to us. He becomes dad. He becomes a close, confident place of assurance. He's not looking to reject you. He's not looking to resist you. He's not looking to rebuke you. He's not looking to just correct you with a heavy hand and not let you know he loves you. The spirit bears witness, verse number 15 says, we cry, Abba Father. Then verse 16, then the Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God. When the Spirit is the evidence of this, that we are God's children, then God begins to release something called inheritance. I'm talking to you about the Spirit of inheritance. Let's keep reading. Verse 16 says, Romans 8, 16, the Spirit is the evidence with our spirit. So what's happening? His Spirit is wanting to bear witness with our spirit. The coming together, the communion of saints, the fellowship of with God and man, but also the fellowship of man with man. Not man with men, man with mankind, brethren, to dwell in the bond of unity. See, this is why it's easy to love God. It's hard to love people. Why is it hard to love people? Why is it difficult to love people who are different than you, that hurt you, that wound you? Why? Because again, you don't like people or not like people. You just don't like how they make you feel. I'll say this again. You don't like a person. You like how you feel around that person. You don't not like a person. You just don't like how you feel around them. So it's not whether you like them or not like them. I like them. I don't like them. I want to be around them. I can't stand being around them. You don't like how you feel around the person. So it's not the person. It's what you feel when you're around them. So this is the power of love. Love is us receiving this acceptance from God and being able to minister to his sons and daughters, even the difficult ones. What God showed me is the difficult ones are the key to destiny. The ones you like, the ones who it's easy to get along with, that's not the test. He said, if you do good to those who do good to you, what reward have you? But when you bless those who curse you, when you pray for those who took advantage of you, when you love those who hated you, when you do good to those who did evil to you, then you got a reward. A reward is God's hand come. I don't know why we're talking about this, but God wants to give you a reward for loving the people that it's hard to love, for honoring the people that dishonored you. And you can get away with this with man, but you can't fool God. God says, I'm not going to move you forward until you overcome this issue. And it's not really an issue with people. It's an issue in our own hearts. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. If we are children of God, that we are joint heirs, we are heirs of God, we will inherit God, then we will inherit everything that Jesus has will become ours. How do we get that? Do you want to walk in that for your children? Do you want to walk in that for your grandchildren? Do you want to see that those miracles and your children not go through what you went through spiritually? See, I want my children to never suffer financially. I want them to never miss a meal except for when they're fasting. I want them to fast. I want them to learn how to fast 2 days, 3 days, 5 days. I've had them fast, water fast 3 days, my older children. I want to take them on 5 days, 7 days. I want them to miss meals for the kingdom, not because we can't afford to feed them. I want them to be blessed. But the greater thing I want to give them, the monetary, the greater thing I want to give them than them never having to worry about money. See, I want to be wise and learn how to create, so that they never worry about need, they worry about destiny, or they think about destiny. I don't want them to have to worry. I want them to grow up into their calling, into their destiny, so they're not out there working any kind of job just to make ends meet, having to do things that they're not destined. Well, get a job anywhere, do anything. No. I want them to grow up into their destiny, that they learn music, they learn writing, they learn preaching, they learn song, they learn the anointing, not worrying about how to pay bills. That's never meant to be your, well, that's how it is. It didn't have to be. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children's children. And then the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. You got to leave inheritance. That's also naturally. No, it is. Because but it didn't happen to us. We suffered. Lights were turned off. Cars were repossessed. We suffered. Went without food at times or went without abundance. But God always took care of the righteous. And let me encourage you, that's not your child's destiny. They're meant to have more than you have. They're meant to walk in greater than you have. But I want to give them the spiritual riches. What is that? Joy and peace and love, righteousness, walk in power, miracles. I want them to fulfill their calling and their destiny. I want them to know the thing that they've been created to be and do. I want my grandchildren to grow up not having to be afraid of lack and poverty and division, and not having to be afraid of insecurity and perversion. I want them to go into their calling and be one in love with Jesus at a young age. Why? Because I made a legacy and I've got to overcome in order to create that. But he said here, verse number 17, that if I'm an heir of God and I'm a joint heir with Christ, in order to activate this, if so be we suffer with him, we will be glorified with him. The key to glory is how we handle suffering. Do we suffer well? Are we constant in suffering? Are we dependable? Are we faithful? Are we committed? The first thing suffering does is it drives you away from God when we're immature. Then we learn to hold our peace. Then we learn to allow suffering to drive us to God. The word suffering here is the word, if we suffer with, it means to feel pain together, to go through evils together. Sum pasco, with pain, with affection, feeling, with sickness, with, so you go through it with God. With God, the trial leads you to God, not from God. The trial leads you to the altar, not away from the altar. The trial leads you to church, not away from church. The trial leads you to prayer, not away from prayer. It leads you to love more. It leads you to be gracious. The suffering is an opportunity to unlock glory if I handle it well. What am I going through? What opposition am I dealing with? What war am I facing? What constant attack is coming against us? That is an opportunity to please God with that suffering. If we suffer with him, we will be glorified together. Soon, doxa, same soon with glory. Doxa, adzo, with glorification. Now God glorifies. He brings it to full maturation to glorify with glory. God brings you with him in glory. Verse 18, for I reconsider the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Reckon, remember the word reckon, logizo mahi. It means to reconsider based on a logos. You see this suffering, you see this trial, you see this burden, you see these weights. Now you reconsider the suffering based on a revelation. Like David said, it was good that I was afflicted. It was good that I suffered. It was good that I went through, because I learned the ways of God. I learned the statutes of God. To suffer, I reconsider the sufferings of the present time. That means if you're in present time suffering, there must be a reconsideration of what you're going through. They are not worthy to compare with the glory. So now you look at the suffering and you look at the glory that is in you coming out of you. And now you reconsider, I'm not being gypped. I'm not being ripped off. I'm not being tricked, hoodwinked, bamboozled. I'm not being taken advantage. See, people act funny when they feel like they're being taken advantage of. Like they're giving more than they're getting and they're doing more than coming back. People get a little funny. See, you ever seen somebody grateful? That's really grateful. They got an attitude of joy and honor and esteem and gratitude. You ever seen somebody that feels like you're taking advantage of them or God is taking advantage of them and they're getting the short end of the stick, that they're giving and they're serving, they're working, and they're still where they are? They just get this attitude of an absence of gratitude. It's ungratefulness. Now, I've given more than God's going to give me. I've sown more than I'm going to reap. I've done all of this and God hasn't seen it. Now, something happens in the heart of that man and they shift internally. And this has to be healed. Usually it comes through offense. I reckon the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now you see it differently. Now you come ready to serve, ready to give, ready to worship, ready to, you come to your throne and you can advance because why? You've made an internal shift internally. That internal shift, staying there is the key to your door opening. Hear me by the Spirit. You cannot open your door. I can't open doors. I can't make doors open that are not from God. I cannot open doors for people that God doesn't have me open for them. no matter how, whatever God gives me, whatever influence, I can't open doors for people till God says it. And God will not say it till the person overcomes it. So though I have doors I can open for people, I'm watching and I'm listening for God's word. And there are doors that people need to open for me that won't open until I deal with myself, till I get my mind right and my motion and my attention right. So me staying in this locus of mind, this reconsideration of the suffering, now tells God I'm ready for the next level of glory. I stay there. I remain there. I abide there. Anyone can visit this place, but who can stay in this disposition of agreement, this disposition of the unity in God? Here's what verse 18 says. I reconsider by a revelation my suffering, my affliction, my trial, my waiting. I now understand they're not worthy to be compared with what I'm going to receive. Now I become grateful. I become honoring. I become happy. When you get a good deal, you get happy. When you get blessed beyond measure, you feel grateful. You're exuberating, and you can see it in the heart of a man, in the heart of a woman, when they're in this joy and they just are grateful. They're just confident. They're just aware. They just know. They just believe. They just stand. They ain't even say nothing. They're just, their face is exuding this love and this honor and this gratitude. And it just opens doors that no one can close. But there's an opposite. There's a frustration. There's a tiredness. There's an offense. There's a weariness. And that closes doors. It keeps them in the same rabbit trail, in the same hamster wheel, going through the same tribulation and over and over. And that weariness and that frustration and that bitterness and that tiredness and that frustration is keeping us in the same. Guarding our heart is the key to the next dimension. I don't know who this is for, but I know I'm speaking by the word of the Lord. The earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the mature sons of God. Mature sons of God have an ability to remain consistent and faithful and a right attitude in good times and bad when they're tested. See, when testing comes is when, see, there are normal times, there are tribulant times, but when relationships are tested, when there's strain, when there's pressure, when the enemy wants to bring offense, when the enemy wants to bring misunderstanding, when those testing times, it's God getting ready to promote somebody somewhere. A test is not us testing for the sake of, well, we're just going through a test. When you sit down in your school and you take the test, you've studied, you've gone through the class, now you've got a test on what was taught. And if you pass the test, you advance to the next season. If you fail the test, you got to retake the course over. And God said, I'm looking to bring maturation, right responses, right attitudes, right words, right perspectives, right communication internally, mentally. For everything in creation is waiting. It's eagerly waiting. It's longing for mature sons of God that can respond well in adversity, that can love, that can make right decisions, that'll be patient, that'll be committed, that won't let offense rule them, that won't let hurt rule them, that won't let their feelings rule them. The Bible says everything created is waiting, the scripture says, for the manifestation of the sons of God. The Bible says, scripture says, for the creature was subject to vanity. This word vanity, I'm in Romans 8, verse 20. For creation was made subject to vanity. Leadership that was devoid of truth and appropriateness. Perversion, depravity, want of moral character, want of right attitudes, wrong leadership, wrong authority. Now, when Adam fell, the authority was transferred out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of light, into darkness. Now the earth was subject to vain glory. Now the prince of the power of the air, because Adam obeyed the word of the devil, now he transferred legal authority over the earth realm to a demonic force. Now vanity was ruling. Vain glory was ruling. not willingly, but by reason of them that subjected it in hope. What was the hope? That one day the seed would crush the head of the serpent. I'm in Genesis 15 now. That the seed of the woman would have enmity with the serpent. And the Bible says the seed of the woman would crush the head of the snake, and the snake would bruise the heel. Verse number 21, our verse, the Bible says, 21, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Everything created will be delivered from corrupted leadership in the church, in business, in government, in homes, in family, in education, in arts. And God said, I'm going to deliver. I said, God said, I'm going to deliver, babe. God said, I'm going to deliver. I'm going to deliver from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. Bondage, slavery of corrupted leadership. God said, I heard this word. This is, I want to shout out Apostle Rocky. God said, there's a change of administration coming to the church. It's coming to business. It's coming to government. It's coming to families. Headship is shifting. There's a shift. I believe God wants to shift and move. The word administration is the word dispensation. There are leadership that God is aligning and healing and dealing with so that there would be right authority, right leadership that produces right glory, right miracles by the Spirit of the Lord. God wants to release that by the Spirit of the Lord. He wants to release healing and miracles and restoration and life. He wants to bring light to the darkness, peace that passes. I'm going to pray with you. Let's read this as we conclude. The creature was subject to vanity. Verse 21, Romans 8, 21. The creature or creation itself will be set free from the bondage of corrupted leadership into glorious freedom of the children of God, of the mature sons of God, of the mighty sons and daughters of God. I declare that's who you are. That's who you are. You are God's mighty son and God's mighty daughter. And all of the growing pains and all of the ups and downs and all the trials have been about bringing you to this next moment of promotion, of advancement, of overcoming the past. You're not going to replay the past. You're going to overcome the past. You're not going to rehearse the past. You're going to bring the kingdom of God, the fulfillment of the things of God into your generation. Here's what the scripture says. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glory freedom of God's sons and daughters. Into the glorious freedom of right leadership who produce freedom and kingdom glory in everything they oversee. In order for there to be glory, there has to be mature sons and daughters of God. I'm going to pray for you. Though it's a descent to tell you this, God is sending the increase. God is about to send increase. Let's pray. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray right now over those under the sound of my voice that have been in battle, that have been in war, that have been in opposition, that have been going through hell and high water. I declare that the creation is longing for them to come up into authority and to take ground and to walk in power. I decree that these sons and daughters are mighty and they are destined to overcome every generational cycle, every generational power, every generational purpose. I thank you, Lord, that you are bringing newness of heart, newness of mind, newness of identity in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I ask you for miracles in the life of my brother, healing in the life of my sister, restoration everywhere they need it in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit. I speak to that inner man. And I declare by the word of God, they will be well, they will be strong, and they will be mighty in God. They will fulfill all that you ordained for them to fulfill. God, I ask you for healing in that woman of God, healing in that man of God. Strengthen them now so that you would get glory. God, I pray that you strengthen them to overcome this test. Testing produces promotion. testing produces advancement. This test is not to destroy, but it is to advance them and to promote them and to take them higher into deeper levels with you. So I ask this now, heal and restore. I pray miracles in the lives of your people, and I ask you for supernatural favor in them and in their generation. I decree it now, and I declare that it's done, that it's settled, and we are seeing God's hand in the land of the living. Work it now, that which is good, that which is whole, that which is living, and we'll give you all of the praise, all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that prayer, somebody say amen and amen. And somebody say amen. Let's agree with that prayer, believing that what God said he's going to do, he will do. That this work is finished by the Spirit of God, and that you're going to watch the miracles of God over you and your family. I want to encourage you that are watching. Thank you for being with us. We are in great expectation of the mighty move of God that is here and yet about to manifest. In Jesus' name we pray. We're grateful for that. We are encouraged by what God is doing, and there's yet going to be so much more that he does. So thank you for being with us. I just want to greet a few. Let's see if I can open this back up. God bless you, Corinthia. So good to see you. I see Pastor George, you were on a little bit ago. Brother, Sister Nina, God bless you. Sister Priscilla, Sister Emma, good to see you. Sister Melissa, thank you for watching. Sister Rose, thank you for being with us. Let me encourage you. Promotion is not coming. It is here. There is a promotion, Sister Deborah. So good to see you. I just opened up, and I'm using this other app. I was sending messages for them to bring that other phone, and they didn't get them. So if they can do that now, they can get that other phone and bring it for me. God indeed is doing tremendous. Sister China and George, the Lord bless you. Sister Veronica, it's here. Amen. God bless you. Joseph, so good to see you. Edmund, so good to see you. Deborah, thank you for being with us. We believe God is ministering by his grace and going to do so much more. If they can do that quickly, I'm asking them to get that phone and bring it to me. They can move quickly. I believe God wants to minister supernaturally to you and to your household, that there is a miracle anointing that is not coming. It's here. And I believe he's going to work mightily. I'm here also on the YouTube. Sister Jocelyn, so good to see you. Sister Violet, the Lord bless you. So good to see you. Danny, so good to see you. Thank you for joining with us. Sister Priscilla, the Lord bless you. Sister Nikki, God bless you. So I just wanted to greet all of you. And I believe that God is moving mightily. Thank you for being with us. It's a time. Let me encourage you. This is a time of promotion. This is a time of increase. This is a time of favor. And we're going to watch the favor of God abound in so many areas. And God is going to get glory in everything that we're building and everything that we're doing. I'm just so grateful you're with us. I believe that you're going to watch the greatest harvest ever come to your family. Let me encourage you. I'm going to repeat this to you, that the men and women of God said they saw the Lord ministering to our families. Apostle Kim mentioned also Apostle Rocky, that we were to stand in agreement over the next 40 days or so until our 10-year anniversary to believe for supernatural breakthrough in our families and our children. I want you to agree with that. If that's for you, if you're believing for a breakthrough, you say, well, Apostle, some of us have been believing for years and months, and some of us have been believing for 5 years, 8 years, and it feels like there's no change. But let me encourage you, the change that you're believing for is getting ready to come to pass. God is going to bring that change. He's going to bring that healing. Let me encourage you. We're going to go. I know we've been on for a moment, but I want to pray with you specifically for your family. God bless you, Sister Gloria, Sister Priscilla, Sister Corinthia. So good to see you, Brother Z. Let me encourage you. I see this specifically for Brother Z, your family, but there's multiple people on the line. God is about to send the angel of the Lord to visit families, and we've got to get our hearts correct. God is not mad at us because he's dealing with things that have been under the surface for many years. He's dealing with them so we can bring promotion, advancement, miracles. Sister Lynn, so good to see you. Pastor George, let me encourage you. The hand of God is going through your family. Well, Apostle, I believe 2 years ago, I believe five. Let me encourage you by the Spirit of God. This is not a normal Pentecost season. We are now moving in Pentecost through to tabernacles. And this next few months is a season of God working and healing and restoring. Don't get tired when your appointed time comes. Bless you, Pastor Jessica. Bless you, Brother Marco. Don't get tired when your appointed season comes and say, well, I believe God then and I prayed then and I lifted my hope. No, no. You encourage yourself. You pray over it. But let me tell you about the word. I'm gonna agree with this word that Apostle Kim gave Saturday morning at the RTA, that God is going to visit families. I'm going to say this again. Bless you, Minister Teresa. Bless you, Sister Rose Bonet. Brother Danny, God bless you. God is going to bring order to this stuff. He loves them more than you love them. He wants them more than you want them. He's going to do the thing you need him to do in the area you need him to do it. God is going to get this thing done. Don't you be discouraged. Don't you give up. Don't you get frustrated. Don't you turn around now. You're near the thing God has for you. Whatever you're facing, it's an opportunity for you to go forward, not to go backward. I'll say this again as we, Sister Lynn, the Lord bless you. It's an opportunity for you to advance, for you to see breakthrough, for you to see healing, for you to see miracles, for the working of God to be seen on your life. There is something God has appointed that he's not going to change his mind about. He's determined to do good to you and your house. I'm going to pray again. And again, I know we're getting ready to go. Sister Cindy, the Lord bless you. Sister Anna, the Lord bless you. The Villalobos family, the Lord bless you. Jaime, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, Pastor Jaime. Good to see you. So glad you're on. Let me pray with you, Sister Monique. I just decree in the name of Jesus that our hearts would become softened, that our hearts would become tender. Here's the word of the Lord. If you will hear my voice and harden not your heart, you will enter the rest concerning this with your family. We will not harden our heart. We will not remember the past. We will not go into previous situations, but we will remember the goodness of God, and our hearts will move into divine expectation. We will begin to expect goodness and mercy and favor and miracles and signs and wonders. We will begin to expect it now for the people we love the most, our families. Let me pray with you. God, I decree family-wide miracles, family-wide healing, family-wide restoration, family-wide wholeness in them, in the people they love, and our hearts become ready. Now, I need to say this. God is getting ready to heal the church. The church is about to go through reformation. Mark these words, change. Some of the areas of our hearts as the church have to be healed, have to be whole, so God can bring the prodigals to a healthy family. God isn't just going to save them to leave them where they are. Bless you, Sister Marissa. Bless you, Sister Julie. The Lord, this is for you and your family as well. Sister Mary, God wants to bring them to healthy community, healthy family, healthy covenant relationships, healthy pastorals and pastors and members and healthy communities. God said, I'm going to bring reforming to the church. Let me do it. Let me heal the church. Let me bring them in to a healthy community with pastors and apostles and shepherds and prophets who are healthy, and singers and worshipers, and brothers and sisters, and sons and daughters. God said, I'm going to heal the church. God loves the church. He wants to wash the church. He wants to minister. But I see healthy churches, healthy communities, healthy places of relationship with God. God is doing it for his glory. Don't you be frustrated by the changes, therefore are good. Don't you be intimidated by the changes, they're for the good of the community. All this is going to bring about a mighty harvest, because I'm about to send the souls, the new converts, the broken backslidden. You want to know why most people get backslidden? Because they are hurt by the church. They're hurt, and we don't realize, and I have to take responsibility. I've hurt. Maybe I didn't know it. I never intend to hurt, but there's things that I could do better as a leader. And God says, I want that oil, I want that humility to flow through the rest of the leadership of the kingdom of God. Not just this rock, not just San Diego, not just Lancaster, not just London, not just South Africa, but around the world. God wants healthy communities. Bless you, Prophetess Jackie. Thank you for being on. We pray blessing over you. And God said, I want to heal the church and bring us together in a healthy community. But we have to be willing to humble ourselves and forgive and honor and love, but bring people to accountability to make changes. See, asking forgiveness is needed, but change has to come. What's the change so we don't recreate the disruption and the division of the church in the future? How do we make it better? How do I grow as a leader, as an apostle, as a pastor, as a father in the spirit to bring up healthy sons so that now that community is healthy? When the church comes in, they feel the love of God. They feel community. They feel connection. They feel purity. They feel power. They feel love. How do we grow into this? God said, I'm sending the harvest. I'm sending the harvest. I'm sending the latter rain to bring maturity into the church. So we love and we honor, we bring people up. We bring the standard doesn't drop. That's right. There's a standard, but that standard should not be at the sake of hurting people, of dividing people. We've got to bring people up with love, not with intolerance. And I'm working on, God help me to be patient. Help me to be gentle and tender and help me to be long suffering. Help my mind and my thoughts to be clear about what you want for this season. You want to know why? The church is coming into reformation. Something we've never seen is about to come. Bless you, Devion. So good to see you. He wants to release what we've never seen before. He wants to release what we've never seen before. Will we be open to receive it? I'm declaring this Rock International. I'm declaring the RTA. I'm declaring whatever God has given me any authority in or just influence in, that we want this change. We want this transformation. It's starting from the head down. It's starting with me. It's starting with Christ and every leader, every headship. This change has to come so the church can be healthy, not imbalanced, healthy, not partial. God wants healthy communities. So we come in and the glory of God follows right order. Let me encourage you. I believe it. And I see, bless you, Pastor George, it's coming to Spirit-Filled Church of the Valley. It's coming to This Rock International. It's coming to Life Christian Center. It's coming to Eternal Praise City. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming by the Spirit. It's coming to WHCO, World Harvest Christian Outreach. It's coming to communities around the world. It's coming to us. And we've got to be ready to receive it. Will we make the changes necessary? Bless you, Denise. So good to see you. We've got to be ready for this change. So I'm going to encourage you. Will you pray with us? Will you commit to pray and fast for leadership to make these godly changes necessary? And how we steward our own thoughts, our hearts, our minds, one another, and how we steward the body. God needs this change because God needs to release his glory. I'm going to pray one more time. God, I pray over families. I pray over marriages. I pray over covenant relationships. I pray over fathers and sons and fathers and mothers and daughters. I pray over communities that have been wounded and been broken, that have been pierced, and that we would fear no more, but that we would accept, we would come close, and we would receive the healing. We would receive the correction. We would receive the realignment for what's coming. And as we do this, as your men and women, you would send the souls to a healthy church, to a healthy community. God, I pray, let this come. Bring, Lord, this next level of unity and agreement to headship. And let that oil flow to the beard, to the rest of the body. Let the fire of God visit us, and we'll be sure to give you glory and honor. Now, I pray a special prayer for every prodigal, every wandering son and daughter. I just see this picture. We've got to go. I see the picture of God ready to send the prodigals, but the church has to be ready to receive them. I see a picture. The hearts of these prodigals are ready. The field is white. The field is, they're ripe. I see sons, son-in-laws, daughters, daughter-in-laws, they're ready to come in, and the church has to get ready. We've got to come up to another level of love, humility, honor, family. So when they come in, they're going to be healthy. God is saving them from us. And that's a hard word. I'm receiving it. God is protecting them from us until we have the church in order clearly, whether it's love, where it's purity, where it's unity. God is saving. Yes, bring them home. Bring them where? Bring them to a safe place. Bring them to a community of love and honor and purity and righteousness and order and not division, not wounds, not hurts, not anger, not bitterness, not division. God said, I can't do that. I want to bring them to a healthy place. So God is holding the harvest, waiting for us to be ready. And I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching. God is telling me, get your mind ready, get your heart ready, get your spirit ready, get your thoughts ready, and do what I show you to do. And I'm going to send the souls from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I'm going to send the prodigals from around the world to be healed at Zion, to be refreshed. God wants to do it in India. God wants to do it in London. God wants to do it in South Africa. God wants to do it in India, in Asia, in Malaysia. God wants to do it in America. God wants to do it in California, in different parts of the states and country of the world. God wants it everywhere. Are we ready for it? Are we hungry for it? Are we thirsty for it? I believe God is ready. The time is now. We are ready as his leaders. Somebody say amen, amen, and amen. Well, I'm so glad you were with us. I pray the blessing of the Lord over you, over your family, over your children. I believe God has great things in store. This is a beautiful time. You are a part of this leadership that God is going to send prodigals and souls to. And we've got to get our hearts ready for what's coming. The path has been long. It's been difficult. It's been an enduring season. But that season is over. Get ready for the new, because it's not coming. It's here, says the Lord, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen, amen. Thank you for the extra few minutes, that last 15 minutes. I just begin to hear the Lord speak some things, and I'm ready for it. I know you are. Please, if this word blessed you at all, hit that share button. Sow a seed of sharing the word of God. When you share the word of God, I believe like giving water to the thirsty. I believe this word is for the radical remnant who love Jesus with all their heart. The radical remnant who want the glory, who want the higher dimension. This is for us. There's a remnant who wants it. So if you were blessed, share this. Let us know where you're watching so we can keep that region in your prayers. Thank you for joining us. Please share the podcast. Let somebody know we're on. We're praying God's blessing and favor over you and your house.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.